Chapter 7. The Mediterranean in 48 hours. During our short time in the Mediterranean Sea, the captain did not appear once. I estimate that we traveled nearly 600 leagues in 48 hours. Starting on the morning of the 16th of February from the Greek coast, we had crossed into the Atlantic Ocean on the morning of the 18th of February. I realized during this journey through the Mediterranean that this trip was not pleasant for the captain. He had too many terrible memories from that area. On that land, he had not had the independence he now had with his Nautilus. We were traveling at nearly 25 miles an hour, the Nautilus's top speed. Ned Land was quite upset about such a quick journey through these familiar waters. We were now unable to attempt an escape. To leave the Nautilus at such a high speed would be as bad as jumping from a train moving at the same speed. One afternoon, Conseil and I were observing the thick coral of the ocean that made up a large landmass underwater. This region was actually a land separating Europe from northern Africa, though it was many feet below the surface.
What if some explosion within the center of the Earth should one day raise these landmasses above the waves?
Conseil asked. It is not probable, Conseil. This will never happen because the heat at the center of the Earth is slowly cooling. In the first days of the world, there were many explosions on Earth coming from the heat at the center of the Earth. But now, the temperatures at the center are cooling with every century, which will eventually die. Every plant and animal of the earth will die with it as well.
But the sun can heat the earth.
The sun does not provide us with enough heat, Conseil. Can the sun's heat give heat to a dead body?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, my friend, this earth will one day be like a dead body. Nothing will be able to live here. It'll become like the moon, which has lost its heat quite a long time ago.
In how many centuries?
In hundreds of thousands of years, my boy.
Then,
said Conseil,
we will have time to finish our journey, if Ned allows us to.
Chapter 8. Vigo Bay. The Atlantic. This body of water covers nearly 25 million square miles, with a length of 9,000 miles, an average width of nearly 2,700 miles. So many of the world's great rivers, the St. Lawrence, the Mississippi, the Amazon, the Loire, and the Rhine, all empty into that great ocean. After sailing nearly 10,000 leagues in 3.5 months, a greater difference than the circle of the earth, we're now in the great Atlantic Ocean? Where were we going? I went to the platform after we rose to the surface for new air, and was followed by Conseil and Ned Land. The sea was quite windy, and it was almost impossible to remain standing on the platform. So we returned to the inside of the Nautilus soon after. I returned to my room, but the Canadian, looking anxious, followed me. During our rapid trip through the Mediterranean, Ned Land had had no opportunity to plan an escape, and now looked quite disappointed. "Friend Ned," said I, "you must not worry. We will soon arrive at the coast of Portugal, and France and England are not far away. We can easily leave the Nautilus there." After a few moments of silence, he spoke.
"We must leave tonight."
I was quite shocked to hear such words.
"We agreed to wait for an opportunity,"
continued the Canadian.
"And the opportunity has arrived. Tonight we will only be a few miles from the Spanish coast. Tonight at 9 o'clock, Captain Nemo should be in his room. The submarine's crew and engineers are not able to see us. You will wait for me in the library, where I will come meet you. So all is ready. Till tonight.
The sea is bad.
Yes, I know,
replied the Canadian.
But this may be our only opportunity. The boat is strong, and we are only a few miles from land. We must go. This may be our only opportunity. I will see you tonight.
A moment later, the Canadian was gone. I spent the rest of the day thinking about the escape we would soon be taking. I knew I must leave, as I had promised Ned Land I would go with him. A confusing day I spent on board that day, desiring to be on land again, but unhappy to leave the wonderful Nautilus, therefore allowing my submarine studies to be incomplete. I wondered what Captain Nemo would have thought of our plans, if he had known. What would he do if he discovered our plans? I had no reason to complain about him. We had certainly been treated like honored guests on board his Nautilus. I had not seen the captain in several days. Would I see him before our departure? I wished it, and I feared it at the same time. The hours of this day moved too slowly for my impatience. My dinner was served in my room as usual. I ate very little, as I was too worried to eat. I finished my meal at 7 o'clock. 120 minutes later, I was to meet Ned Land. I walked around my room, hoping to calm myself, but I only became more anxious. I worried that we might fail in our escape. Soon enough, I prepared for our escape, dressed warmly, and walked into the library to wait for Ned Land and Conseil. At this moment, the door to the sitting room opened, and Captain Nemo appeared.
"Ah, sir,"
he said cheerfully,
"I have been looking for you. Do you know the history of Spain?"
After a few moments of silence, I spoke. "I know very little of it."
"Well, let me tell you, and you will be able to answer a question that you certainly were not able to answer before."
"I will listen, Captain," I said, as I was still too shocked at seeing him to say anything else.
"In 1702, many riches were sent from the King of France to Spain as a gift. Unfortunately, however, the ship carrying the riches was lost in Vigo Bay and was never found,"
he said before stopping to look at me. "Well?" I asked.
"Well, Professor Aronnax,"
replied Captain Nemo,
"we are in that Vigo Bay, and now you must decide if you would like to search for this mysterious ship."
The captain then took me into the sitting room, and we could see the ship that had carried the riches from France. Captain Nemo's men were carrying out the treasures and returning them to the Nautilus. I then realized Captain Nemo's method of obtaining his riches.
"Did you know, sir,"
he asked with a smile,
"that the sea contained such riches?"
"I knew," I answered, "that these riches are worth nearly 2,000,000 pounds.
"Yes, but for the government to remove the money, the cost would be more than it's worth. I, however, simply have to come here and pick up what others have lost. There are thousands of other spots containing such fortunes. Can you now understand where my fortune comes from?"
"I understand, Captain. But I do feel pity for those who could dearly use a part of this fortune to live on."
"Do you think, sir, that these riches are lost because I gather them?"
he exclaimed.
"Do you believe that I do not think of those who suffer in the world? Do you not understand
Captain Nemo stopped after speaking these words, perhaps thinking that he had spoken too much. I believe that although he had left human society, he still pitied those who suffered in such a society. And I then understood who were to receive those millions.